going to have a practice run through. If you've got a bell, ring it on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Don't forget to do that when we get to the song. Come on, ring those bells. Every time you hear that, you see me again, go down the street.
See the darkness coming.
rise upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will go to your light, and kings to the brightness of your own. We celebrate the child. Christmas carols and Christmas songs that you grew up with and have heard,
as long as with some scripture reading in between. But I do want to just say, it's just good to see everybody that's here today, everybody that's on Zoom. I wave to you guys, wherever you may be, in whatever state you are in. That's amazing. We get people from different states that watch us all the way here from Milford, Iowa. The sun is shining today. People are on the lake ice fishing. But there is no snow here as of yet. It looks like it's not going to be much of a snow for Christmas this year. But I do want to let you know that there are some prayer requests here this morning I want you to be aware of. That, you know, kind of brings in a whole different seriousness that goes along with this time of the year as well. The first one has to do with Walt Meyer. Walt kind of heard some good news and he heard some bad news this past week. The good news is that his leukemia seems to be in remission. You know, the chemo that has been working on his chemo, and then he had an MRI, and they found that there was a cancerous tumor in his brain, as well as some other couple of tumors, I believe, that are there. And so they're still planning on going down to Yuma, Arizona. He feels really well, feels good, and they go like,
well. He's right back there.
Is he right here?
He's right back there.
Well, there he is. What am I talking about you for when you're here? But I'm glad that you're here, Walt. You know? And so, yeah, come on, ring the bell. You know, you're planning on going on Tuesday, right?
It's going to be Wednesday.
Okay, you're going to go Wednesday down to Yuma. All right. Well, just don't get a speeding ticket. Pray, Walt. But our prayers are with you as, you know, you're looking at maybe some surgery in February, I believe.
Possibly.
Yeah. That just kind of depends how things go and everything like that. But I just want you to know, as a church family, we love you, we care about you, and we'll be praying for you. And, you know, it hasn't been a fun year for you guys at all. It's not your typical year that you guys have been able to have, but... We just keep you before the Lord each and every day. The other one is from Linda Johnson. Her twin sister, Lana, is on a ventilator due to pancreatitis, which is caused from an anesthesia from surgery she had. And she will be in an induced coma until they feel she is strong enough to try to wake her. And so I just keep Lana in your prayers as well. And then there's also Dorothy Cherry, who is in the hospital. I believe a gay man is in the hospital, too?
She's returned.
She's returned back to the memory unit?
I visited her. It was quite amazing.
Okay.
She
okay.
was. They told me she wasn't going to be able to speak to me or anything. And okay. She called me Nancy Noodle.
And
I came in, and then I put the phone up to her ear and called her children. And she spoke their names. So it was really quite a visit, and then she lost interest in me.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being there for her, Nancy.
Yeah,
as well.
I was surprised I could visit her then.
I did get a phone call from somebody who's related to her from Omaha, Nebraska yesterday, and they're trying to get a hold of her. And so I gave her the name of the Keelson Harbor, and they kind of went from there. But they're going to talk also with. Is it her sister?
Yeah, her aunt.
Kay. Yeah, Kay, there you go, Kay. They're going to talk to Kay, but they also know her situation too. So, and so we also think of Dorothy Cherry, who is in the hospital, and she's got COVID, and their word is that she might have to go to a nursing home before she can get home, and that's not kind of the words you want to hear. You want to go from the hospital, you want to go right to your house. And that we just keep Dorothy in your prayers as she recovers from I'm not sure if she had a stroke or not, but she did have a blood clot in one of her veins or in her brain. and she's wobbly. She's very wobbly, can't have her balance. So she needs to get her balance back before they'll let her go back home. And so Shirley Berry has got a pinched nerve. She's in a lot of pain, I believe, in Esterville. And then Denny Cole, Denny, he's got some eye issues that are going on with him. And there's probably others of you that are here today that you can think of a number of people or maybe something going on in your own heart, in your own life as well, that you're concerned about, that our hearts and our prayers go to you as well. And even though we don't know what they are, Jesus does. That's the main thing. God knows everything that's happening in our lives and in our hearts, and I'm thankful for that. There are no other things happening really at the church that I am aware of. Is there still prayer on Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay, there's prayer on Tuesday. There's no Bible studies or confirmation classes until next year. And so you can tell they're all happy because none of the confirmation kids are here. So just... There's other things in your bulletin. You can read them and just make you aware that December 29th is the final date for any gifting that you might want to do before the end of the year. But December 29th will be the last day that you will be able to do that. And so let's just have a word of prayer together before I turn it over to the praise band here this morning. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time of the year. We see the candles. We are reminded of your coming. And we just thank you, Lord, that Christmas is going to be probably different for a lot of us this year. And we pray, Lord, especially for the families and the places where there's someone missing this year that was there last year. We never know what's going to take place in a year's time. But Lord, I'm glad that it is you that brings us the good news. And you give us words of hope, words of love, words of joy, words of hope. Or maybe I said that already. But we're just grateful that you are alive, that you live in our hearts and our lives. We pray, Lord, for those that we know of in our lives that don't know Christ as our Savior. And we just pray that whatever reasons, whatever excuses they give, may they see that they're not good enough and that they need Jesus Christ, who came for them, died for them, and rose again. And that he is the one that helps us during these days of uncertainty and what a weird year it's been. And it may be a weird Christmas for a lot of us too. But we just pray for those that will be traveling, those that will be coming, those that will be going. Thankful that this Christmas may be one of the best Christmases we may have because we have taken things for granted for many years. And so Lord, use this Christmas. Use these days. We don't have to wait till Christmas Day, but maybe put on our hearts phone calls we can make, cards we can send, smiles if our mask isn't on. And maybe know that Jesus is alive and he came for us. There's no other way our sins could be forgiven other than him coming and going to the cross for us. May that be good news in itself. And so we just pray these things and all the prayer requests that we have mentioned here this morning. May you be with these people and these families in a very special way today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise band.
Would you please stand?
Thank you.
have a responsive reading this morning. It comes from Mary E. Cadwell, who wrote, "Who Shall Come?" Who shall come in the fullness of time to gladden the hearts of men?
Who shall bring new joy to the world, and war, and all we defend?
Who shall come on a cold winter's night, when the world is hushed and still?
All the silent stars keep watch as the promise is fulfilled.
Just as a child newly born, he shall come to a stable rough with song.
Tis his gentle Jesus, Prince of Peace, and blessed the Son of God.
We await him with reverent hearts.
Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come.
School, you know, we deal with saints a lot, and one is Saint Nicholas, and that's a hot one, you know, for the kids, the kindergartners. So there's many questions that come up, many, you know, so, you know, it's kind of, you kind of answer in trepidation, wondering, okay, what do you, you know, say, and I finally just told the kids, you know, the important thing to remember about Saint Nicholas or Santa, or how he got his name from Saint Nicholas to Santa, is the importance is that if there was never a Jesus, there'd never be a Saint Nicholas. And so, you know, that kind of lets them think a little bit. And so we're gonna have Santa visit us today and just remind us of what's really important about Jesus here.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Yeah.
Your eyes good. That's why Santa visits you.
Good.
Well, I invite you to stand as, if you're able to stand, and we will hear once again what we've heard the last three Sundays. It comes from Luke, verses 1 through 4 of chapter 1, the beginning of his gospel. It says that many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Heavenly Father, may we be the Theophiluses here today, just wanting to know that all that we have heard, that it is true. Lord, we need the truth today in a world where oftentimes it's just been turned upside down, it's backwards, the things that once were false are applauded today. Things that were right and true are booed, or there's a riot over, or some kind of a protest. Lord, we live in a day where we need to hear your truth and to see the light of Jesus Christ. So be with us today, Lord. Make your word come alive today to speak to us, that we may leave today different than the way that we came through the doors today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just want you to know that the man by the name of Luke, he was with the Apostle Paul as the Apostle Paul went on some of his missionary trips. He took three missionary trips, mission trips, and Luke was with Paul. He knows him, and so he writes down as a doctor, that was his occupation, very meticulous and a lot of questions, things that were important to him, you know, that would be important to others to hear about when it comes to Jesus Christ. And so he also wrote the book of Acts, which tells us what happened to the church. What did the church do? What happened to the disciples after Jesus ascended into heaven? So, that's where we're at today. We've already gone over the candles, people that we've looked at over the last three Sundays, and today we come to another person in the story of Christmas. And we want to hear Joseph's side of the story. So I brought with me a little something to remember Joseph with. Why do I have this? Because Joseph was a carpenter. Very good. Not only that, but what we see today, Joseph saw way back.
I'm going to ring those bells.
Yeah.
There we go. Well, today, we're going to talk about Joseph, somebody we don't know much about. You know, he is mentioned, but we don't know a whole lot about Joseph. And so, I think Luke himself mentions Joseph during the time of the birth with Mary only three times, where you'll see his name in print. And so today I'm going to kind of go back, and I'm going to be in character of Joseph. I'm going to kind of turn into Joseph here in a little. It won't take long. Okay. Now you got to picture me with a beard. I think Joseph had a beard. Most married Jewish guys would grow a beard. And he's thinking back on all that has taken place in his life, and he says this, I remember when it was once said that was going around outside of Nazareth as well as in Nazareth, anyone who was from Nazareth would often hear this. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Now that I think about that, I kind of chuckle now. Chuckle. Because the answer to that question is absolutely, a big yes, there is something good that can come from Nazareth. It's just like saying, can anything good come from North Dakota? Can anything good come from Iowa? Can anything good come from Milford, Iowa? Or from Estherville? Or Lake Park? Or Okoboji? Or Arnold's Park? Or Spirit Lake? Can anything good come from you who are here today? And the answer to that is absolutely. When Jesus is a part of our lives, good things take place. Good things happen inside of us. So I kind of think of our backgrounds are very interesting. You know, I'm not much because I'm not Dutch. I'm not Norwegian. I'm not German. I'm not English. I'm not French. I'm a full-blooded Jew. And I could trace my ancestry and my religious heritage back to Abraham. I bet you can't do that. How far can you go? But I can go way back to Abraham as one of my forefathers. King David was one of my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpas. You know, he's the one that, when he was a teenager, he took his slingshot and brought down that big giant called Goliath. You know, you get good with your slingshot when you're out there herding sheep. Just kind of see what you can do with it, but God was with me that day. He was with my grandpa that day when that took place. Our family tree holds a rich heritage in the belief of God. For we have been told and we've been taught many things what God has done in our family over the centuries. This has given me a strong faith in the Lord as well. Even though I don't have much as far as by the world standards, I live in a small house, no running water, no electricity. I have a very simple home, dirt floor, few things on the wall, but not much. I don't have a car. I don't have a truck. I don't even have a boat. Just a donkey, some sheep, a few goats, chickens, and some carpentry tools, because that's what I really have done with my life. I'm a carpenter. When I was younger, you believe it, I was interested in girls. There was a time I was. And I didn't date like you teenagers do today. Because my parents took all that pressure off of me. And they chose the girl that I was to marry. That's how I met Mary. It was through an arranged marriage. My parents went to Mary's parents, and they both agreed after talking things through that we would make a a good couple. We would be a responsible, we'd have the responsibility of establishing a good home. And in my culture, we were immediately considered engaged, as we call it, as you call it in your contemporary day today. But for us, we called it betrothed. We were betrothed, which meant like we're engaged, as you look at it here today in your country and in your world. But this betrothal is a legal and binding, it's as legal and binding as marriage, with only one exception. We live apart with our parents until the actual marriage ceremony. But once you're betrothed, you're looked upon as being a married couple. I was delighted with my parents' choice, and I couldn't keep Mary out of my mind because she'll be a wonderful wife for me. But then I heard the words that changed my life. Those two words were like getting run over by a reindeer. Mary said, "I'm pregnant." Whoa. I didn't expect that. We had had no sexual relations whatsoever. I felt betrayed. How could she have done this to me? Who was the man and who was the father? Did I know the guy? What in the world are our parents going to say when they find out that she's pregnant? What are people going to say in Nazareth? Well, then Mary told me that an angel had appeared to her and told her that she was highly favored by the Lord. Because of God's favor, she will give birth to a boy who is to be called Jesus. And she sounded so at peace about this whole thing, and even a little bit of excitement went along with her. All I could think of was the law of Moses. You know what that says. The law of Moses says that anyone who's going to have a child out of wedlock, they would be stoned to death. If word got out and no one believed us, that's really where we were at this point in time in our lives. Now, I couldn't divorce her in public and ruin her reputation, or I could quietly divorce her and send her out of town to have the baby. I chose to divorce her quietly, that no disgrace would come to her, because I loved Mary very much. But I still struggled with, why did this have to happen to me? I was so depressed about all of this that all I wanted to do was go to sleep, thinking it was a bad dream. And I couldn't deal with it. And a lot of times, I have to admit, to be frank, I really didn't want to deal with it. But it was then, when I fell asleep, I had a dream. I'm glad it was not a nightmare, but it was a dream. Sleep is the best escape sometimes from our problems, isn't it? And I dreamt that an angel came and he was talking to me about what was happening. And the angel reminded me about Isaiah's prophecy and some of the other prophets. In Isaiah's prophecy, it says that a virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. His name will be Emmanuel. Mary said something that an angel had told her, that were to name the baby Jesus. Because this Jesus would save his people from their sin. Well, I woke up and I had to conclude that this is a true miracle. This is a real miracle. At 10, the light went on. I saw, finally, what God wanted me to see. It made sense. How else can you explain Mary's pregnancy? She was a virgin. She has said all along that there was no other man. And to think of it, you know, God has been quiet. God has not said anything to my people, to us, for over 400 years. He's been quiet. Now he is speaking again. He is our Emmanuel, which means God with us. And it makes sense that prophecy is being fulfilled. And what a relief that all of this has become to me. So I went and I told Mary, and I went and I told my parents and her parents that this is a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. You should have seen their faces. They thought I'd lost all my marbles. I said, isn't the Messiah to be born in Bethlehem, the city of our forefathers, the town of my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa, the town of David? And they said back to me, well, you know, there's at least 80 to 90 miles from Nazareth to go south down to Jerusalem and into Bethlehem. It's that far from where we live here in Nazareth, and there's no reason for us to go there. But then, it didn't take long, the word got to everybody in Nazareth that Caesar Augustus was taking the census, which meant that we had to go. And where else did we have to go? Bethlehem. Life is full of changes, isn't it? We encounter some very unexpected and difficult curveballs in our lives as well. Joseph struggled with betrayal towards Mary. He had to struggle with trust. But it took a dream to reveal to him what God was doing. It's the unexpected things in life that keep us looking and depending on God. Think of your lives. Think of the different kinds of things that you have had to go through. Things that you have encountered along the way. And there are things, a lot of things that you would never would wish for or would want to do. You wouldn't want to go through these things. But these are the kinds of things that happen to keep us looking and depending on God. Because where would we be without a faith in Him? If it is a comfort that you're looking for, or some strength, some healing power, some forgiveness, the only place you're going to find it is going to be in Jesus Christ. Don't go looking anywhere else. It's going to be found in Jesus. So what kind of changes are you going through in your life this morning? What kind of changes? I know that there is one family in our church that I forgot to read here this morning. It's going through some changes. It's Jim and Peg Ebel. And they write this. And I close with this. Jim and I and our families want to thank each of you for all the prayers, cards, and messages you have sent during this time of losing our Julie. That's their daughter who died because of COVID. One of the reasons. Our hearts hurt that we have been helped so much because of all of this. Julie is and was our special gift when we adopted her 44 plus years ago. And we thank God for blessing us with her. She was and is lighting things up with her energy and love of life up in heaven. God bless each of you. Jim and Peg, their son Mark and his family, Haley, their granddaughter and family, and Spencer and Roger. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Joseph. Oftentimes, Lord, we forget about him and the things that maybe he went through himself. We can only imagine what they were and what he went through. It was not an easy time for him, to say the least. And Lord, we don't hear much about Joseph in the Gospels. Some believe that he was an older man and he died along the way, and he wasn't there at the cross when Jesus was telling John, "Here is my mother. Take care of her." We don't find Joseph there at the cross. We don't really know what happened to him. But he was chosen by you to be his earthly father, however many years that was. And so, Lord, my prayer today is just for all of us that are here and those that are watching by Facebook or Zoom or YouTube, whatever device they are on, that we think about Christmas that is just 5 days away from today. But to think about where we're at today in our lives with you, Lord, the unexpected things that have taken place. And how are we doing with those things? Have we remained bitter? Are we angry? Or are we going to allow them to strengthen our faith and to increase our resolve in knowing that faith is important and there's nothing that can take that faith away from me, from us here today. Jesus always brings faith. And Jesus always forgives. Regardless of what may have happened or is taking place, it is your forgiveness, Lord, that makes us white as snow. It purifies us. And so, Lord, will you be with my friends that are here today as well as those that are listening? that they know that Jesus Christ is with them today and is always on our side. And so may we just pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together this morning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended into heaven. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. May the benediction today be the ones that we read here in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." May you treasure things and memories this Christmas season in your hearts and in your lives that will be a blessing to you. And it'll bring you to a thankfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ for coming and being our Savior, and that he's your Savior today as well, because you've invited him into your hearts and lives. Amen.
Bring them to us.